the tickets.
Gig tripping.
It's so special. I can't wait to get on with it today. It really is. Now, you know, over the last few weeks on Gig Tripping, we've been looking at, you know, a lot of different gigs that have featured more than one band and more than one performer. Last week we had, of course, that incredible gig that's going to be happening in LA and in New York with the likes of Steely Dan and the Eagles and Earth, Wind & Fire like that. And we've also, over the last couple of weeks, done one with George Benson and Kenny G, which
yeah,
you
which
liked.
Is good. Mm.
Yeah, I think a week when you were off, Zara and I did Daryl Hall and John Oates along with Tears for Fears. I mean, that'd be a great night, wouldn't it?
I really like the retro gigs.
Yeah, and Cyndi Lauper and Blondie, we did one heading down to Auckland for that one. But I think this week is probably the real powerhouse double bill
big
that,
talk.
That I've ever actually delivered. So hit that button and let's have a listen who we're going to see.
Mistake because there was a bit of Mariah Carey in between the Lionel ones.
I know, because they're both on the same show.
Together?
Yeah, together. And guess who's the special guest? Guess who the headliner is and guess who is the special
guest? You're
looking
at me with a mischievous look. Justin Bieber?
No, it's Lionel Richie's All the Hits tour with a very, very, very special guest. That's how they build Mariah Carey.
So I can, she's the special guest.
Yes, so I can just imagine them, you know, in negotiations for this gig to happen. You know, who's going to be the headline? I mean, it's kind of... for me, they've gone the right way. It's got to be Lionel, hasn't it? You know?
But does Mariah know this?
Yes, she does. She knows that she's been billed as a special guest. We'll hear from her a little bit later on in the show talking about, you know, a bit about the negotiations that she had with Lionel Richie. She's quite happy to be doing it. And, you know, fingers crossed, they're going to be doing a duet. They've got to do Endless Love. Got to do Endless Love, haven't they?
That would be amazing.
It would, wouldn't it? I mean, Lionel Richie, I've seen him twice, and I know that you've seen him. For me, he's just a phenomenal entertainer, as well as being a great songwriter.
One of the best gigs you'll ever go to. When he was in Media City, it was one of the best nights of my life.
Yeah.
And I'm not that into gigs, to be honest.
No.
I'll leave a gig halfway through, but get a bit bored.
You know,
but
he's one of these guys, he's a real entertainer, he can involve the audience. You remember when he was doing the part, you know, when you have a breakup, you come to Lionel and you play my songs, and when you find somebody new, you come to Lionel and you're playing my songs.
He's so comfortable up there, he's like a cross between a singer and a stand-up comedian, I think.
He is, isn't he?
We were chuckling away all the way through that gig, and he just seemed to be loving it. You know, you get a few people who will come in, and you sometimes feel a little bit like they're just getting the check.
Yeah.
They're doing the job, they're getting the check, going through the motions.
Thanks very much, and I'm going home.
Not Lionel Richie.
No. Anyway, so this gig, I'm so happy it's going to be happening. It got postponed. And there was a lot of speculation as to why it got postponed. And there was rumours going around saying that Mariah Carey was just getting on Lionel Richie's nerves so much that he said, forget it, I'm not going to do it anymore. But that's not the reason. It actually hurt his knee. And he wanted to deliver a pristine show. It was going to be happening in April, but it's actually been postponed to July. And the gig that I'm going to be taking us to is in Oakland, which is part of Greater San Francisco.
San Francisco.
So we're like 15 minutes out of San Francisco.
Brilliant.
Where this gig is happening. Now,
like in the suburbs?
Yes. Now, San Fran, for me, it's probably, I don't know, is it New York, is it San Francisco? But right up there is my favourite city in the US.
I've never been, but it's bucket list for sure.
Yeah. It's an absolutely stunning place to go. An amazing city. It's going to be happening on July the 21st, this gig at the Oracle Arena. And, tickets are selling like hotcakes, as you can, you know, well imagine. Now, Mariah She was interviewed and asked, you know, about this tour. And, you know, they just had a small chat. It didn't seem like they had long negotiations and, you know, just decided it was going to go ahead.
I mean, I only spoke with Lionel once, and we were, like, kind of just going over the idea of we were going to do it and how we were going to do it, because it's really, it's his show, but my section is, I'm the very special guest, so my section is, like, 60 minutes of the hits and also fan favorites, which, like, not everybody knows.
I'm surprised she agreed to that.
Would you trust her to be reliable?
Oh, yeah.
Would you?
She's very professional, I think.
Yeah?
Yeah. Reliable in what way?
Well, just the impression that I get from the TV show, like the reality show,
yeah,
is that she's just a bit everywhere.
Mm. Yeah, well, maybe that's, you know, the show portrayed her that way, didn't it? You know, and there was a lot going on in her life, that in her personal life as well as, you know, her professional musical life. Yeah, I think that's all put to bed now. Yeah. Now, someone else who's really happy about this gig is Lionel's daughter, Nicole Richie.
I already requested 500 tickets, and I said I'm not exaggerating. I need 500 to your and Mariah's show. I'm so excited. Are you kidding? I'm so excited. Who doesn't love Mimi?
Lionel Richie is like a fantasy dad as well, isn't he?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think he's been an amazing father to her, hasn't he?
Just
when you hear him speak, he's so measured, he's so well-spoken. I just adore the guy. He's one of my favorite musicians, even when he was back in the Commodores. And we're going to hear from him talking about those days in the Commodores a bit later on. But even Mariah Carey followed Lionel Richie's career from the start.
Well, he is just a legend and so amazing. And he's been writing the most incredible songs for so long. And I'm just, it's an honor to be part of the tour. So, I mean, yes, I technically have a big catalog of songs that I could choose from, and I'm going to do that, and I will be doing the hits, but also not every single, like, number one song or whatever, but, like, in addition to the hits that people pretty much want to hear, the crowd pleasers, I want to do some fan favorites, because I have a great relationship with my fans, and I love them so much, and they travel all over to come see me perform and do different things. So what I want to do is are some fan favorites, and also some new music.
I'd love to just go and sit on the grass and watch this gig in San Francisco.
Oh, what a gig.
It'd be so good.
What a gig. And of course, the big question that everybody's asking themselves right now is, are they going to sing a duet?
We talked about it a little bit, but we haven't totally narrowed it down. So I think that's something we could always kind of put together, you know, because it's not like he doesn't know his songs, and I grew up listening to them, so it'd be pretty great.
It's got to be Endless Love, hasn't it? I mean, Lionel Richie wrote Endless Love and recorded it with Diana Ross. However, Mariah Carey also recorded Endless Love with Luther Vandross. So it's just the natural song to pull these two together.
It makes sense. And she did say there, one of his songs. She made it clear that it would be one of his songs and not one of hers.
Yeah. Well, I think when it comes to songwriting, Lionel's probably got the edge over Mariah.
I don't know. Mariah's got some great hits.
Yeah, but has she written them?
I don't know, has she?
Yeah, I don't think
so. Has she not?
I don't. I mean, I could be wrong. I will check that out. But, you know, Lionel's the real deal when it comes to a songwriter. So anyway, we're going to come back gig trip, and we're going to hear a bit from Lionel Richie, and we're going to put this gig together. San Francisco to see Lionel Richie and Mariah Carey.
And there's been another on-plane debacle.
What?
Yeah, going to tell you about it when we come back.
The tickets.
Gig tripping.
Yeah, we are gig tripping, and it's an absolute scorcher of a gig, this one. Not one, but two superstars on one gig.
Hello. Is it me you're looking for?
I had a vision of love,
and it was all that you've given to me.
I had a vision of love, and it was
do you think I could get a job as Mariah Carey's background screamer?
Yeah, I'm sure you could. Yeah, you can sing high enough.
Yeah, I was listening to that thing.
Yeah, why not?
I can do that.
Screaming. Yeah, I can go an octave above that. Mm. Yeah. Vision of love. Apply. You're applying for every other job that's going. You might as well go for that one as well. So, it's Lionel Richie, Mariah Carey that we're looking to go and see. They're appearing in Oakland, which is in Greater San Francisco in the Bay Area. And it's going to be happening, this gig, on July the 21st. It's at the Oracle Arena, which is in Oakland there. So it's going to be an amazing gig. We've heard a little bit from Mariah Carey. I thought we'd, you know, just kind of catch up on Lionel Richie. An amazing career. And, of course, he started his musical career out, not as a solo artist, but as a member of a band, the Commodores.
Think of a band when you first start out as four or five brothers. And the Commodores said I had five brothers. Traveling around the world with five brothers. You couldn't mess that up. But of course, to me, the struggle was the fun part, because the struggle was always the possibility of tomorrow we could make it. And so from there, it was one of those wonderful situations where we just played every university campus around the South. We played with the Jackson 5 2.5 years. We did every city across America. And I'm still a junior in college. Back then, it was the only shot to take. Now, we signed with Motown, but it was a year and a half to 2 years later before we actually found our spot. Because when we signed with Motown, I didn't know I was a writer. I'm receiving songs, and I didn't trust myself, and I'm not gonna write that. And then I started writing one song, and then two songs, and then, whoa, this is not a fluke. And then, of course, the wonderful coaching of James Anthony Carmichael, master arranger. But more importantly, he just gave us the confidence to say, no, you're right, that's the right road. Or I brought in Three Times a Lady. I was going to give that to another artist. I wrote that for somebody else. And he wrote, no, you're going to do that for the Commodore.
So we know that Lionel Richie writes his own songs, and he's fantastic, and he's amazing, and Mark loves him. But I think Mark's got a bit of an apology for Mariah Carey.
Yeah, I have. You know, I was unsure. We were talking earlier on that, you know, I was saying Lionel Richie's the master songwriter, but I thought I'll just check out, where, you know, if Mariah has written any of her material. She's written All I Want for Christmas Is You. She's written Dream Lover, Emotions, Fantasy Hero, Honey, And many, many
ones,
more.
Then.
All the big tunes she's written.
All of them,
in fact. All of them. But she's done it with collaborations with various different songwriters, but she is on the songwriting credit. So,
you know what we call
that in 2017?
Mariah. Yeah. It's a diss, Mark.
It's a what?
You dissed Mariah.
Dissed, yeah. Is that bad?
I don't think you'd be welcome at this gig now.
Really?
I better go.
Okay. All right, you go. I'll go to Hall & Oates and Tears for Fears instead then. But, I mean, you know, he said it, obviously very happy performing with the Commodores. But when you have to make that big step, because the record company is telling you it's time, Lionel, you got to go solo. I mean, how do you do it?
It was my best discovery and my worst curse. In a band, you can collaborate. You can throw ideas around. Solo, well, first of all, you have to go find another band.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to play with other musicians. I wasn't excited about going solo. The writing part became the curse. As long as we were writing funky and everything was happening, it was great. And then something amazing happened. I started writing this Three Times a Lady stuff, and I started writing this Ceylon. So from 10 to 6, Kenny Rogers. From 6 to 12, Commodores. And from 1 to 4 in the morning, Endless Love. Hit record, hit record, hit record. And the more I kept trying to low-key it, it kept taking off more and more, to the point where Motown came in and asked the question, it's time for you to do a solo album. It didn't say go solo. It said do a solo album. And then two things happened that were amazing. One, album of the year. Second, producer of the year. Now, album of the year was The Kaboom. It was the first time the Academy, I mean, I really felt, not only was that the evening, but it was, I remember turning around and it was a standing ovation, and everybody was, those are your peers. You know what I'm saying? It was, and it was a very big deal. And from that point on, it was the rocket ship that just took off. And then from there, of course, it went on to the next level, which was the We Are the World thing.
Steve has asked, is that Mark playing the piano in the background? Yes, it is. He brings it in and he plays
yeah,
that.
I just have a little tinkle now and again, yeah. But, you know, that last word, though, the next level, We Are the World.
I know it's true and all that, but I can't help but think he sounds like a bit of a show-off.
I think he's got plenty to shout about.
Yeah, but still, do you shout about it? Or do you just go, yeah, yeah, I've done some good songs,
He's being interviewed, people are asking about
Someone's playing a piano.
And we are the world.
I remember Michael and I were on the phone, Lionel, turn on the TV. And they were singing We Are the World in Tokyo, and they were singing in America, in Europe. We knew we were talking about something huge, but we didn't know it was going to be like that. Mm-hmm. We Are the World was just beyond the scope of our imagination.
There was just like this masterful penmanship for like hope.
I'm very proud of that.
And so you should be, Lionel. You should be very proud.
Yes, very proud, very proud. If you've ever been to a gig, if you've travelled to go and see some music, let us know. We'd love to hear from you. Do people actually do this? Do they go just to go and see a concert?
Oh, of course they do, yeah. I've got a mate of mine who travels all over the world just to see gigs. And I think our colleague, Natalie, from 92,
does a fair bit of that. Yeah, right.
Yeah, I remember her taking off to see Fleetwood Mac in the
UK. But she's in music.
Yeah,
I wonder if you've got a job that is not related to music, whether you would
interested. I'm sure there's some mega fans that will. Anyway, we're going to put this trip together for you when we come back. We're going to look at some, possibilities of places to stay, hotels, and most importantly, things to do in San Francisco.
And how much it costs.
And the animal before the owner. Dubai Eye 103.8.
This is The Ticket with Mark Lloyd and Steph Bergen.
Yeah, we are gig tripping this afternoon and off to see an incredible gig.
The tickets.
Gig tripping.
Now, we're looking, of course, to go off and see the incredible Lionel Richie along with Mariah Carey, and they sound a little bit like this. Yeah, and we're definitely going to be dancing on the ceiling. No two ways about that at this gig happening July 21st in Oakland, which is in the San Francisco Bay Area. Wonderful city. So let's take a look at how we can make it happen. Tickets for the gig start at $63, which is 230 dirhams. Not bad to see two superstars in one show. Looking at flights, I found an Air France flight departs on the 18th of July, so we'll have a couple of days to get over the journey. $1,441, that's $5,292. I know it's a bit pricey, but we're going a long way. It's the best I could find. Maybe I'll have another, shifty around and try and find something a bit cheaper.
It's not deal of the week.
No, we're going a long way, aren't we? And also, I checked out an Airbnb. Now, a very famous area of San Francisco is called Castro. If you've ever seen the movie Milk, it was all shot down in the Castro area.
That's the San Francisco I know from that movie.
Right, okay. Well, it's all still there. I think even the photograph shot where Harvey Milk used to run his operation from is still there. I found a nice little Victorian building. It's a flat with 12-foot ceilings, really high ceilings, and it's right close to the underground and, all the action that's happening in San Francisco. As I said, it's not a massive city when it comes to the city centre, so it's pretty well located, and I found that for 290 dirhams a night, which is pretty cool, I think.
Yeah, that's not bad, is it? 290 dirhams. Yeah. You couldn't find a hotel for that.
Well, you couldn't. And if you want to go in style, and I've been lucky enough to stay at this hotel, I just wanted to play you this clip. A few years ago, I was lucky enough to stay at the first ever Fairmont ever in the world, and it's on Nob Hill in San Francisco. And the general manager, Thomas Klein, he gave me a little bit of background on the hotel.
You know, this being such an iconic part of San Francisco, and this hotel being here for over 100 years, there's so much tradition that everybody comes to expect when they walk through the front doors. We sit on Nob Hill, so we're really out of, I guess, the city center or the financial district. So we are in part, very much a part of the historical part of San Francisco.
Yeah.
And this hotel here really was one of the only buildings that survived the earthquake from 1906. Mm-hmm. The structure survived quite nicely. The interiors, the exteriors, and those things were damaged through the fire that followed the earthquake. But the structure, as you see it here today, is from the original.
I mean, I've been kind of looking at photographs. You've got a lot of photographs around the lobby area and different walkways. And the actual lobby itself is not much unlike it was back in those days.
No, we went through various transitions from the original opening of this hotel, but we restored this back to its original state in 1999. Uh-huh. So everything you see here from the floor and the marble and the pillars and the actual layout of the hotel is very much the way it was originally. We say, you know, what do we do? What do we, you know, you want to change it and keep it up to date. But there's always such an awe when people come in there
and
say,
wow.
They say, absolutely wow.
I've arrived.
That's it. You know, so it's that first impression.
Yeah, the first impression is very crucial, as you say. Beautiful when we walked into the lobby. Now, I've kind of been reading a little bit about the hotel, and it's sometimes described as the White House of the West Coast, because I would presume it's been home to many a dignitary.
I tell you, it's been home not only to every president that we've had in North America, but certainly from heads of state, you know, not only from the U.S., but global heads of state for celebrities. And it's the place to be and the place to be seen, you know, when coming to San Francisco.
It is such a cool hotel.
Yeah, I'm in. Yeah. How much is it going to cost me, though?
You're in the 1,000 dirhams a night bracket there, but it's well worth it. Now, when you think San Francisco, what first springs to mind for you?
Bridges.
Okay, Golden Gate Bridge. Yeah, very famous bridge. That's one of the things that you've got to go
trams.
And see. Trams. Now, I'm glad you said that. They actually call them their cable cars, and you've just got to get on a cable car.
Can you just tell me a little bit, buddy, about the cable cars? I know it's a frequently asked question, but everybody wants to know about them, don't they?
Yeah.
When they kind of first arrived here.
Well, the story is that they were invented by a Scottish immigrant by the name of Andrew
Hence
Halliday.
Hence the bagpipes.
Right. That's a big bagpipe cable car. Yeah. He was actually not an engineer, but a cable salesman. Go figure.
Okay. All right.
So... the story is that he saw a horse with a cart being driven up a hill, and the horse fell down backwards and was killed being dragged down the hill by the cart. And because of that, he determined to build a new way to get people up the hills that was better for horses. So he invented these cable cars, which are basically an upside-down ski lift. And the cable spins around under the street, and there are three big motors in one central station that spin all the cables for each of the three lines.
Okay.
The interesting thing is that the cables only last about 100 days on average before they're broken or replaced.
And I think they have a two-man crew, don't they,
Two-man crew. One is the grip man. He pulls a big lever that engages the cable. And then the other one is an additional brake man and collects the fares. So, because they have a lot of brakes in case the cables malfunction.
A lot of sounds going on there, isn't it? It takes me right back.
I don't want to freak you out or anything, but I don't know if anyone could hear the ghost of the Scottish immigrant playing
in the background. I know. Amazing,
was that planned?
Wasn't it? And it wasn't planned. No, he just started piping up as soon as I switched my recorder on.
Incredible.
Amazing, but you've got to have a trip on the cable cars. That is something a must do. Another one, but a little tip here, wrap up well. You know how I don't like the cold, and this is one of the coldest places I've ever been to, and it's called, of course, Alcatraz, and you don't mess around when you go there. You better behave.
If you don't behave yourself, we're going to come down on you like a ton of bricks.
These cells around the corner are where some of the inmates of Alcatraz actually tried to escape,
You know, the movie Escape from Alcatraz with Clint Eastwood, that's based on the story of these guys here.
So there they are, kind of laid in the bed.
Yeah. Well, they made those models.
Really?
Yeah, they made those models so that when the night guards did the check, that they would see that, you know, that there were heads and bodies in the bunk.
Right.
So that
right.
gave
so
them
that was
some
kind
time.
Of a decoy, yeah?
It was
yeah.
a decoy, absolutely. Uh-huh.
But as you said, they had all the time in the world to kind of dig their way out.
Right. They dug through the concrete with teaspoons from the cafeteria. Right. It took them over a year to do it. Uh-huh. But like I said, they have time.
Yeah.
You know, what else are they going to do? You know, you can only play so many games of checkers.
Uh-huh. Very sparse, the cells, yeah? It's quite unbelievable that people could live like that.
Well, they're actually smaller than modern prisons. That's one of the reasons they closed Alcatraz, is because the cells are too small.
Uh-huh.
Another reason was obviously because the concrete had been compromised by the salt air. The salt is very strong.
Uh-huh.
And so... after 30 years, it had become softer, and they were able to dig through, because originally that would not have been able to take place.
Mm. Do you like a bit of prison tourism?
Yeah, it's a wonderful place to go and take a look at, and they've actually got, you know, prison guards who are actors who... you know, who are kind of, hey, you move along there, and you know, any hassle will come along. Yeah, it's a wonderful day out, but as I said, very cold. Probably got one of my most treasured fridge magnets from Alcatraz.
Oh,
just love it. You've survived the rock. So that's just a couple of options. You know, do the cable cars, do Alcatraz, get out of town as well to a place called Muir Woods. You'll see the biggest trees you've ever seen in your life. Some of them 2,000 years old sequoia trees. Absolutely wonderful trip. Just about a half hour out of San Francisco.
So how much is it going to cost altogether to
right,
do this gig trip?
Altogether, if you did the Airbnb, which is the kind of Victorian place on Castro, which I'm sure would be amazing, all in all, it weighs in at just under 7,000, 6,973 dirhams.
And you are seeing two fantastic
yeah.
stars for that.
Lionel Richie and Mariah Carey. What more do you want?
The Tickets.
Gig Trippin'.